Welcome to Lighthouse Church Inverness. We'd love to see you at our Sunday meetings. Information on time and place can all be found on our website at lighthousechurchinverness.com. We pray this message is a blessing to you.
This is what God will do with the person who doesn't give up on the journey. I believe that very strongly. And while we're in the business of commending, I want to give my own commendation briefly to young Ali Hannah. Without Alison's vision behind the scenes, this church would never have started. That's the truth. And it's with your faithfulness and your attention to details and your perseverance that the church is still going strong.
Amen.
So let's not forget the heroes in our midst. We love y'all.
Thank you. Go off and light my brow now.
Here it is, I asked. God, today we are gathered here because of you, because the possibilities of your love in our lives, God, the possibilities of your call for every person on the planet. So many different people here with so many stories. But you know those stories perfectly. And I thank you, Lord, that through the blood of Jesus, all of those stories can have a happy ending. An ending of grace and power as we step into you and as we allow you first place. That's what we do today. We submit to you, to your word, to your spirit, to your love. We submit also to your otherness, Lord. And we're so glad you're not actually like fallen humans. But thank you, Lord. Sometimes we have difficulties understanding your ways because they're sky high compared to the ways of the dust we're used to. But today I'm inviting you afresh to enlarge our vision of your ways. In the name of Jesus, let it be done. Amen. I'm always after a picture of what the grace of God's supposed to look like. What is Christianity supposed to look like, do you think? Well, how does it work? I'm constantly asking those questions. What is the potential of the work of Jesus Christ today? Does it have any limit? Is there anything that the life that's filled with God cannot accomplish? We all know there are no limits to God. And so in our lives, we need to question the things that limit us. And we don't have to put up with them. Hey, Mel. We don't have to put up with stuff. That's really important. And as I was praying for this meeting, what is Christianity like? I saw this picture of just an ordinary sort of person, a generic sort of person. And this person's life had completely opened up. It wasn't like a horror movie. It was simply opened up and this great big plant was growing out of it. And that's God's vision for Christianity. When you yield your life to him, he puts something called the seed of his word into you.
Amen.
And that word does something very wonderful. It changes your nature. It's called being born again. But something else happens as well. The living God moves in and the two become one. And out of that union of God and born again humanity, something begins to grow. And our job as followers of Jesus Christ is to let him get big in us. It's to let him be God in my heart and yours. Amen?
Amen.
That's Christianity. Another picture. If you go down to the seashore, at high tide, everything looks beautiful, doesn't it? At low tide, sometimes, if the sea, it stinks, right? All you can see is this dirty stuff, this horrible, uneven bottom of the sea. And it strikes me as being a follower of Jesus. In our spirits, we're born of God. But the souls that we have, on the inside, the human bit still looks pretty rubbish if we waste any time looking at it. And one brand of Christianity tells you to fix the bottom of the sea. It tells you to try and fix this broken, stinking, dead human life. But let me say this. God isn't that bothered about you doing a lot of digging in your soul. He wants it to be high tide. At high tide, those things are covered, aren't they? This is the fullness of God. When we allow God to fill not just our spirits, but our souls and our bodies and our natures. When we give Him first place, the ugliness that's still there. If the tide goes out, we all have the potential to act real ugly. Have you noticed? Although we're born of God, there are moments, unless the grace of God is flowing and current, we begin to stink. We smell like death when we're meant to be filled with life. Let me read you a verse. I'm going to pray this together. And then I'm going to dig into something. I hope it's not too controversial. So this is a prayer Paul prayed in Ephesians. It's a beautiful prayer. So we're praying this together now, right? So you add your faith to mine. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant us, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, and that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and height and depth, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that we will be filled to all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly all I ask or think, according His power that works in me, to Him be glory in the church in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. When the Bible makes prayers available from the heart of God, they are always prayers in response to something beautiful, aren't they? And this passage is no different. It's saying, let the life of God flow through every part of my nature. Let it become everything that I have and am. Let me let God loose more and more. And suddenly, it really, there cannot be any heroes in Christianity when we see that. Because what makes us unstoppable? Who produces the work in our lives? It's Him, isn't it?
Amen.
So while we're in the room, we've got a part to play. We need to act in response to our faith. We need to do stuff.
Yes.
And yet we don't really take credit for it because it's a work of God, isn't it?
Amen.
The third picture I have was of a fire. And sometimes fire, an open fire, sometimes people kick it. You ever kicked a fire? Stupid thing to do.
Yes, I've been there.
But sometimes a fire is kicked. What happens to that fire? Its blaze is damaged, isn't it? But the potential, those coals spread out all over the place. And if you're not careful, you've got 20 fires, right? And that is what happens in the Church of Jesus Christ when there's challenge and persecution. Let's read an example of it. This is just after Stephen's martyrdom and the young Saul, pre-Paul, begins to take it into his heart. He was zealous for God, this young man. In his own way, he was doing his best to serve God as he knew fit. And yet he was completely out of touch with what God was doing in his day. Don't let zeal for God in your life be out of touch with what God is doing today. And Stephen was stoned to death. And his response there is the response from the heart of Jesus. I haven't got time to read it, but it's amazing. He's being stoned to death unjustly. And all he can think about is the souls of the people stoning him. That's the love of God right there, isn't it? God, deal with every condition in me that reacts differently. Because when our lives are filled with the sea of God's grace, that human, that dirtiness on the inside, that sense of, that's unfair. That's wrong. How dare they do that to me? All of that is covered by the love of God. Acts 8, verse 1. And Saul was consenting to his death. This is the someone who we now view as a hero of the church. Maybe your background is anything but good. Listen, it doesn't matter what your background is. It's what the foreground is, what's coming. And it's really important to realize that. There are no moments in life where we've cut off and disqualified ourselves forever. I don't believe that. At that time, a persecution rose against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So fire was kicked, and people were spread out. It's interesting that it says, except the apostles. Because if we read the early chapters of Acts, the only people mainly that we can see doing great works were the 12 disciples of Jesus, the apostles, and sometimes there were deacons set in. But mostly it was these big leaders. We can't see much, a huge amount of the same ministry happening through the body of Christ. That's because they, the early church at that point didn't have the understanding of grace. They knew something of the work of Jesus. They knew very little of the new covenant and the new creation and the idea that all of us in God have the same potential. So in those days, only the apostles managed to endure. They stood there. They didn't leave. And let me suggest to you, you don't have to be an apostle today to withstand persecution. Did you know that? There are different roles in the church today, but the same God and the same potential in every single believer.
Yeah, that's right.
You see, some people have been raised to become generals, but all of us are soldiers.
That's right.
Whatever rank we may have, we're all equipped with the living God's provision. They were all scattered through the region, and devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation. And Saul made havoc of the church, entering houses and dragging off people and chucking them in prison. And then the camera shifts to those who in their own lives ended up being scattered. How do we respond to those moments when life causes us such crisis that we're moved by things? We're scattered. We're shifted from our faith. How do we respond? Listen to these guys. They went everywhere preaching the word. So when they were shifted, they took the heat with them. God's saying that to some of you today. They preached the word. They continued to be who God had called them to be, regardless of the opposition. Listen to one of them, Philip. He went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. So we find a hint of what we should be doing. We should be preaching Christ, not religion, not doctrine, a person. A living person. But what this is, this passage is really interesting because it has a history. What was the history? Can any of you think of someone from a city of Samaria whom Jesus encountered? The living Jesus Christ himself had visited that area years before. He taught them, he'd ministered to them. So these people had already a touch of grace in their life. They'd heard it before. And I think it's the case so often we think people are starting from scratch and God has been working in them behind the scenes. And somehow they preached Christ. These people are already ready. The Bible often says 4 months and then the harvest. You ever read that? That's what the disciples said to Jesus. 4 months, it's not quite today. It'll be ready one day. When awakening comes, the harvest will come and God will send his combine harvester. And what did Jesus say? The fields are ripe to the harvest. And in another place, when he talked about the fields, the laborers are, he says the fields are ready and the laborers are few. And therefore he said to them, what prayer should we pray? Lord, send out laborers into your harvest. That's the prayer for awakening. God, send out laborers into your harvest. And then the very next verse, God says, now you go. Oops. No, I wasn't praying that. We're always the answer to the prayers that we pray in God. We just are. And listen to this. The multitudes, with one accord, heeded the things spoken by Philip. They listened to this man. Every one of them, you could have heard a pin drop. Why? Hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. So there was a natural demonstration of the fact that Jesus Christ is alive. There was a result that could be seen and experienced by people around. And I suggest to you, there is no validity for preaching a gospel that doesn't bring physical, emotional, spiritual healing. Jesus always sent people to preach and teach and heal.
Amen. Amen.
And it's just normal Christianity. It's not special. It's not unusual. There is something called gifts of healings. Last time I checked, Jesus said believers will lay hands on the sick and they'll get well. So we don't need to say, I don't have that gifting. We all have the ability to heal the sick. If Jesus Christ says it, it is so. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city.
Amen.
Wow. The gospel brings joy.
Hallelujah.
If we let it. And then the camera shifts to a certain man called Simon. He had previously been the religious leader of the city. He practiced sorcery and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. So this was somebody who had a supernatural ministry of some kind. And people were saying, this guy is the power of God in our day. And yet the Bible says he practiced sorcery. Sorcery is an expression of the flesh. It's an expression of that bit under the sea where the waves are not. So this man wasn't the great power of God. He was the great power of the adversary. And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. And it's important in our lives that we aren't over caught up with signs and wonders. Did you hear me? There are genuine expressions of God, and there are also expressions that are counterfeit. The supernatural is present in the earth. Have you noticed? It's very important in our hearts we have discernment about the person bringing that ministry. But when they believed Philip as he preached. Well, what do you think we should preach to our generation? How should we preach the gospel? How should we tell people about Jesus? This is a really important question. It's really important. There are many in this room more qualified than I am. But this is what Philip spoke. Do you want to hear what Philip talked about? As he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. That was his two sermons, if you like. The kingdom of God literally means the reign of God. And we have a good news message to bring to the earth today. In the name of Jesus, the reign of darkness is broken over mankind. That's the truth. That's the message we have to bring. The reign of Jesus has come. He's alive. He's resurrected. He's at the right hand of God. He's got all authority in heaven and on earth. Right? So we preach a reign, not our own reign. The reign of the Son of God. And then we tell people how to access that reign. How do you access Jesus Christ's victory on your behalf? Because make no mistake, he's conquered the enemy in your place and in mine. He's carried your sicknesses and mine. He's taken up our sicknesses, my sins and yours. He has. He's taken up my separation from the presence of the Father. He's taken all of those things. He's taken away from me my need to obey the law of rules and commandments. He's removed that and replaced it with a higher way. Yeah. The kingdom of God and the name of Jesus is how the kingdom is applied. It's in his name. It's based on who he is today. And Jesus Christ himself is back of his name. When we speak his word, he is speaking his word. Did you hear me? That is the message of the scriptures. And when we grasp these things, when we understand we don't need to add anything to that, it begins to function. But the problem is, we've added a lot.
Yes.
We have, haven't we? And everything we've added has caused a short circuit. Or it's put a weight upon something that has natural lift. I believe in the simplicity of the word. It means exactly what it says. And maybe it takes a theologian to make you confused. I'm not saying it's wrong to be a studier of the word. What I am saying is that this word is simple, and the kingdom of God children can enter because it ain't complex. How we've made it complex from the front, haven't we? And when they believed Philip, they acted in response to what they heard. And people will act when we give them the word. Both men and women were baptized, and Simon himself also believed. There's change for even those deep into the other side, isn't there? There are many wonderful stories you can read in the bookshops about people who've come from sorcery to Christ. Simon believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the miracles and signs that were done, because he knew he was a con. He had something of the supernatural going on in his life, but he recognized through Philip the divinity of Christ. He recognized what was being done was the hand of God. That's the hand that's back of you and I today.
Yes. Amen.
Yes. Few people believe it. And then the camera shifts, the apostles at Jerusalem. And here we see something of the team of God. God has a team in mind. It's not one person. He has a team with particular abilities. Yes, we can all function in all pretty much every way. But somehow, people are designed to function in a particular way a bit better than others. And our job is to get a handle on how the grace of God has been assigned to us. Because it's assigned with a task behind it. He's made us who he wants us to be because we have something we need to do based on who he's already made us to be. The apostles at Jerusalem heard Samaria had received the word of God. They sent Peter and John to them. When they had come, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon. That's a pretty powerful image, isn't it? Were these people followers of Jesus Christ at that point? Absolutely. They believed the message of Jesus and they were born again. They were baptized. These were full-on Christians. And yet, in the plan and the purposes of God, there was something more that God had prepared for them. Prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. As yet, he had fallen upon none of them. They'd only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And it's interesting, when Jesus Christ gave his great commission, what did he say? Go and make disciples. Go and make disciples of literally every single population group or every single one. Go and make disciples of all of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and in the name of the That's interesting. Because here they'd been baptized into the name of Jesus. This was about their salvation. But let me suggest to you, and without being controversial, that God has some specific things aligned for his people that we need to receive.
Amen.
This is one of those moments. They prayed the Holy Spirit might fall upon them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it?
Yes.
Do you think Jesus said the same thing to us? Did Jesus teach about the Holy Spirit and his work? Oh, you did a lot. If you want to read about it, John 14 up to John 17 is the best place to go. There's a bit of homework. But he told them ahead of time. He says, even though you guys, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your kids. So he's talking to kids here, children of God. How much more will your Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And this has been made, so much has been made of this in a circus way in churches. This is something between you. This is something holy between you and your Father.
Amen. Amen.
You ask him to fill you.
Yes. Yes.
You ask him to fill you.
Amen.
You ask him to bring in. And that's like, that's the sea, isn't it? Covering so much of what's still ugly in my soul. It's the sea of his grace. Filling that. And it doesn't matter anymore who I was.
Correct.
What matters is the flow of his grace through me. Isn't that what Jesus said? Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart or belly will flow continuously rivers of living water. He's talking about getting his life out of you when you've locked him up.
Yes.
In so many ways, in a religious basket, we've allowed him to do so much. And when he wants to do so much.
Yes. Mm.
And when Simon saw this, that the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he got out his wallet. And he says, give me this power, that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. So this is someone who had a desire for the power and the presence of God.
That's right.
He was also someone who had a deep background.
Mm-hmm.
He used to be the religious leader of the place. And stuff like the stuff from yesterday doesn't change in a moment in our souls and in our thinking.
Correct.
He probably thought, who's this young upstart? I can do what he's doing and better. He wanted this ministry. Why? So he could step back into the position of being the one everyone looked up to. And this is the temptation of leadership, my friends. We want the power of God. Why? We want to be filled with the Spirit and move in miracles. Why? It's a great question, because when I look back on my life, I'm super embarrassed at different points. When I look at it, I see the selfishness of mankind. I see the desire for my ministry, my calling, my elevate. No, we enter this gospel by dying to ourselves. We stay in this gospel by remaining dead to ourselves.
Yes.
And it strikes me that the fall brought to humanity selfishness. It became, I'm the center of the universe, right? I'm a planet and the sun needs to go around me, right? That's the enemy's outlook. God needs to go around me. Good luck with that. And we bring it into our faith and we want God to serve us and bless us and give us everything we need. And if not, God. Wow.
Yeah, that's right.
And so much that I see in church life today is purchasing or trying to purchase the grace of God. And we do lots of really good things. The things we do are really good, most of them. But why are we doing them? Because I'll give you just one example of finance. The majority of you will have heard in church something from Malachi.
Yes.
Right? I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the principles of God. But we get this idea is that if you give, then God's going to open the windows of heaven. And that was true when it was written.
That's right.
Did you hear me?
That's right.
Yes. Let me suggest to you, not only are there no windows in heaven, when Jesus Christ was baptized, heaven was torn open.
Yes.
When when young Stephen, before he was stoned to death, looked up, he saw heaven open. Heaven is open.
Amen.
And that gets rid of half of the prayers prayed in so many churches.
That's right.
We're actually seated with him. This, it's nothing to do with above and below. God's grace is in me and it can come out.
Yes.
And that's how his provision, his grace, his everything comes. I'm not saying you shouldn't give. But what I am saying is that you give because you're blessed of God.
That is right.
And don't you dare give because you'd like to be blessed of God. Because it makes all the difference in the world. You're trying to purchase prosperity. And many people on screens across the world today will tickle that because they need a lot of money to run what they're doing. In this church, you will never hear people trying to get money off you. And some of the stuff, give a donation and you'll be healed. Simon the sorcerer is still
That's out there.
That's right. And it's important in your lives you don't sit under that stuff. Did you hear me? I haven't used any names and I won't use any names. But I am saying that in your life and mine, we're responsible for what we allow to fill our souls. You guys all right?
Amen. Preacher, brother.
Because you thought that the gift of God, God could be purchased with money. Nothing in the grace of Jesus can be purchased. And this country and this world is full of people trying to purchase revival.
That's right.
If we take it to its logical conclusion, aren't we revived?
Amen.
Isn't the harvest now?
Amen.
Is God ready to work with me?
Amen.
Because you find, I don't have time for it, but you find Philip quickly being called by God to leave this great awakening, and he went to meet one person in the middle of the desert.
That's right.
Don't make it all about, we've only arrived when we've got this great revival in Samaria. Reaching that guy, that Ethiopian chap.
That's right.
It was a flame that took the gospel to Africa, man.
Yes.
We need
yes.
to think with the heart of God. And God is not always about great big numbers, a lot of buzzes or big offerings. God is about something that will last forever. It's called works that are built of gold or silver or precious stones. A lot of those are not noticed in this life. As I look around this room, I know there's a lot of gold, a lot of precious stones, and a lot of silver waiting here. You take that with you into eternity. And the stuff that's fluff is wood, hay, and straw. What happens on the day? Our motives are looked at. Why did I do what I do? And it's a wonderful question to ask.
Yes. Yes.
If I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, nothing. If I give away all my goods and my body to be burned but have not love, nothing. If I have all knowledge and I can prophesy, this is the keynote speaker, all knowledge and I've got gift of prophecy and I never miss it, if I don't have love, none of it matters.
That's right.
So today I bring you these thoughts in the name of Jesus Christ, because together, God, we are seeking the reality of your kingdom and your name. And we are not going to bow the knee to much of what we see around us. We bow the knee to you, to your word,
yes,
and the faithfulness of God. And Lord, we commit this church and the precious people here. God, we make our lives open to you.
Yes,
we say, Lord, where stuff's working in our souls, deal with those things, Lord, by the divine processes of God.
Yes.
And we thank you, even as we yield to you, that the tide of God flows every day. Thank you for the waves of your love, Father, and there's one for every day of our lives.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you today, Lord. We live in the grace of God. And we want you to be glorified. And we want your name to be the name of honor. And we want to do what we do, Lord, because we love people around us. And we simply acknowledge before you, Lord, that's your love, not mine. God, we make room for the love you say is already in our hearts. Let it
yes.
flow out in Jesus' name.
For more of our Sunday messages, visit our website at lighthousechurchinvaness.com. where they're available to listen to and download.